Before we get into today's show, I have an urgent update to share with you. As you probably know, this podcast is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. And with our financial year ending on June 30th, we're facing a $52,000 gap in funding that must be closed by this date. With just days to go, generous friends of the ministry have now offered to match every dollar given towards this goal up to $10,000. So please take a moment today to give your best gift at premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. Thank you for understanding how important your gift is today and for giving generously. And now it's time for today's podcast.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis Podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show.
The programme you are about to hear was originally broadcast on the Unbelievable podcast in December last year. To commemorate 60 years since C.S. Lewis's death, I hosted a special webinar with Professor Alistair McGrath, where he answered listeners' questions live. Here is the second part of that show.
This is a great question. Is there anything that you would like to ask C.S. Lewis?
Well, let me tell you, one of my worries is this. In heaven, is there going to be a queue to talk to C.S. Lewis, a line of people that's about 100 miles long? You know, because there'll be so many people saying, you know, oh, tell us what happened to Lucy or something like that, you know. And I think one of the key points to bring out here is that I would love to have a private conversation with Lewis, but that would just be to satisfy me. And I think Lewis does deserve his eternal rest, if I can put it like that. But I think that the main thing is this. Lewis is so rich that you can't avoid wanting to ask questions. You know, sometimes it's the way he writes, sometimes it's what he writes, but Lewis is one of those people who really draws you in, and you can't avoid thinking, I wonder about that, and I'd love to ask him that. And we, from Lewis's correspondence, we know he got lots of letters like that in his day and age, and actually seems to have replied to most of them, which is very helpful, I think.
Someone has said, I'm still getting to know C.S. Lewis's books. I've read Mere Christianity and loved it. Do you have any thoughts on what I should read next?
Well, I think you might like to ask yourself, you know, what was it about Mere Christianity I liked so much? I think that's one question. I think that Lewis is very, very good at just showing how much sense Christianity makes. But for a lot of people, they would say, well, look, I've looked at Lewis in Mere Christianity, and I want to know more about how Lewis discovered Christianity. You know, what was it brought him to faith? And of course, Surprised by Joy does answer that question. You might find that very helpful. And also, when Lewis moved to Cambridge University as professor of Renaissance and medieval and Renaissance English, he began to develop a slightly different style of writing. Instead of, in effect, trying to reach beyond the church, he felt he ought to write about Christianity for those inside the church to deepen their faith. And that's why books like The Four Loves are so important, because they're written to encourage Christians. So I think you've got a rich choice here, but I personally would suggest Surprised by Joy, because that tells the story of how Lewis came to become a Christian. And actually, there's some beautiful quotes in that book, which you'll really enjoy. And also, it helps you to understand why Lewis enjoys stories so much and enjoys writing so much.
There's a question here, which, again, I get quite a lot in the work that I do with young people. They said, can I ask more about Lewis's response and reason to questions of gender and sexuality and science? Would love to be able to speak better into these questions today, or point people to Lewis's books specifically. I mean, we did cover that a little bit when we were talking about the Space Trilogy again on the C.S. Lewis podcast. But Alistair, would you just share some thoughts on that question around gender, sexuality and science, please?
Well, Lewis doesn't really talk very much about these specific questions. But what I want to suggest is he gives us a toolkit to enable us to do this. And by, in effect, showing us how we can discover our true identity through the Christian faith, but that identity varies from one person to another. I think that that is really quite helpful in beginning to help us think through where we might find our proper place in this world. But I think what I'd have to say on some of these questions is that actually, in providing an answer to some of these questions, I'm going way beyond Lewis. I have to be very honest about that, that actually Lewis, in effect, is not giving us answers to every question we ask. And sometimes we have to say, well, look, Lewis doesn't answer that question. Let me try and figure out what he might say, or let me read somebody else in order to answer that question. So I would just want to caution people here that actually don't expect Lewis to answer every question. He's very good on some questions. Others, he might step back and almost say, look, talk to somebody else, especially something that's arisen through radical cultural change. Because Lewis actually is quite conservative culturally, and sometimes it's difficult to kind of work out how to transfer him in the 1940s to where we are 80 years later.
Well, speaking of speaking to people, I mean, he did speak to lots of people in his own story of conversion. And someone has asked a question specifically about that. They've said, does anyone know who influenced Lewis in his own discovery of faith and theology?
Well, we know enough for me to be able to point to some people. There's a very interesting passage in Surprised by Joy, in which Lewis says, and I quote, "A sound atheist has to be very careful about his reading because there are traps everywhere." And what Lewis meant by that is that you will read a book and it will say something to you, and you suddenly realize, hey, this God question is really interesting, or that's really important. That suggests my atheism is a bit more vulnerable than I thought. And that was Lewis's experience. Who helped him? Well, poets like George Herbert were really important for Lewis. He was a professional literary scholar and found George Herbert really important in showing how Christianity connected with human life and human experience. He also read George MacDonald, whose sermons were quite good, but his children's novels were even better, in kind of way, helping you to understand the difference that belief in God makes and also why the imagination is so important. He also read Dante, the very great Italian poet of the 14th century. And again, he found that really exciting in understanding Christianity gives you a vision of life, not simply a set of ideas about life, but a vision, and invites you to step into it. So we do know something about the people who influenced Lewis, but I have to say to you, Lewis may well be influenced by people like George Herbert and others, but actually he found his own way of weaving all these together to give his own distinct way of describing and commending Christianity.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
I just wanted to quickly remind you that this podcast is made possible by the generosity of friends like you. And right now, we're facing a $52,000 funding gap that must be closed before the end of our financial year on June 30th. Generous friends of this ministry have offered to match every dollar given up to $10,000. So I'm asking you to give your very best gift right now. Your gift will help keep important conversations like this one coming to listeners like you. Closing this gap in full by June 30th is vital. So please give your best gift today, knowing your gift will be doubled. You can give now at premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. Thank you.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation.
Someone has written, "For me, the most profound moment in the Chronicles of Narnia is Reaper Cheep, the little mouse, and the giant wave, and his total faith in crossing over. What moment is the most profound for you?"
I think that's a very, very good question. And I completely understand why you found that moment very, very helpful. And there are many moments, I think, like that. I think one of the most moving moments for me is when Aslan is killed, the kind of deep sense of grief and sorrow, which Lewis describes so beautifully, particularly with Lucy, it's very, very moving. And it really helps you to understand how very often as Christians, we think about the death of Christ in rather academic or intellectual ways and don't really have that emotional engagement. This is the Son of God who died, who suffered for me. That's very powerful. So I think actually that often speaks to me. But what I think we'll find is everyone listening to our conversation will say, oh, that's right, but this is the bit I really like because there's so much there to find.
It's interesting, lots of people have mentioned Narnia, and I suppose for a lot of people that is their first foray into C.S. Lewis. It certainly was mine. If people are wanting to engage with Lewis for the first time, would it be the Narnia Chronicles that you would recommend, or are there other books that you would perhaps suggest?
Some of his later novels are, I think, very helpful, but I think one of the things I find about the Narnia Chronicles is, although they are written as children's stories, adults get a lot out of them. And I have to say, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, especially if you haven't read it before, is very, very powerful, beautifully written, and really draws you into that narrative. It raises all these questions about what is truth, who do we trust, what is life all about, but does it in a very, very interesting and engaging way. So I think I'd have to say that, for me, The Chronicles of Narnia is a good starting point. But what I would say is you may well find this leads you into other works. So there's a lot there to discover.
Alistair, I know you've already talked about this a little bit, but someone has asked, can you tell us a little bit more about your own personal conversion and how you discovered C.S. Lewis's books?
Yeah, so I'm very happy to do that. I mean, my own background is that of a scientist at high school who believed that science made it impossible to take God seriously and arrived at Oxford University to study science. But my atheism was beginning to become a little bit more fragile, a little bit more uncertain as I began to realize there were an awful lot of questions I couldn't answer as an atheist. And also I began to meet some very intelligent Christians, including many who were scientists, who really knew what they believed and could answer my questions. But then when I'd embraced Christianity, I needed better answers to some questions, and my student friends couldn't give them. So eventually they said, I think really to get me away from them was simply, why don't you try reading C.S. Lewis? I hadn't really, didn't really know very much about C.S. Lewis, but I thought, right, I'll go and buy a book by him. I did. And I just found that he enchanted me, that he gave me this wonderful vision of Christianity. I thought, I want to read more. And that's what happened to me. I just found him to be wonderful. He is my traveling companion, my soul friend. And I keep reading him and seeing things I missed on earlier readings of Lewis. So I think I have to say that I'm not typical in this, but I am an example of someone who really found that Lewis seemed to speak to me, answering my questions in a way that many other writers didn't. And maybe it's just me, or maybe that's an indication of just how significant Lewis is.
Alistair, we're nearly out of time, but I would love to know, you have obviously done lots of research into Lewis, you've read loads of stuff, you've done lots of seminars, interviews, things like that. What are some of the best questions that you have ever been asked about C.S. Lewis? And is there anything that's really kind of surprised you or taken you back or been a little bit unusual?
I think when I was writing my biography of Lewis, I just thought, I'm going to be very honest here. If there's something bad, I'm going to say it because I'm going to tell the truth. But actually, I have to say, I didn't really find very much that was bad at all. I mean, I think that Lewis is a very interesting figure. I think the kind of questions about Lewis that remain really important are actually quite interesting academically. For example, how did Lewis make the transition from simply believing in God to believing in Christianity? Now, we know part of that answer, but it's very clear to me there's some stages in the argument we don't know. And so I'm very much hoping that we'll find something by Lewis that might actually tell us that. Or again, we need to know more about what motivated Lewis to write Narnia. Now, he does give us some indications, but again, they're not completely consistent, and there's clearly more behind this. And again, I wonder if somebody might find, in perhaps in some folder in the Bodleian Library, a note by Lewis saying, here's why I decided to write Narnia. That would be really helpful. But I can live with those questions, but it would just bring added depth to my understanding of what Lewis was doing.
Alistair, finally, given that it is the title of the webinar, do you think there is an expiry date on Lewis's relevance? Will there ever be a time when he is no longer relevant, do you think?
Well, Lewis himself thought he was going to expire quite quickly, and that's been shown to be wrong. I think that the answer is really that Lewis has inspired so many people that two things arise from this. Number one, there are a lot of courses and books and videos about C.S. Lewis, which means actually he's much more accessible now than he was 50 years ago. That's the first point to make. And secondly, those who've read Lewis can work out why he's so interesting and tell people about it. So if you like, there's now a sort of tradition of handing on. I enjoyed Lewis. Why don't you read him as well? So in effect, Lewis's existing readers are creating a new generation of readers. So my personal feeling is that Lewis still has at least another generation to go. What happens after that, I don't know, but certainly Lewis has achieved what I think is the most interesting and most important test for any writer, which is to find an audience in the generation after he died. And that's quite an achievement.
Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. And do register there for the chance to win a free book. That's premierunbelievable.com. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.